Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Taney County Board of Adjustment meeting, Wednesday, January 17th, 2024, at 6 p.m. We'll begin tonight with our establishment of quorum.
Okay, Corey Robach, David Hurd.
Here.
Rick Persinger.
Here.
Trent Edwards.
Here.
And Rick Caudill.
Here.
All right, thank you, Scott.
Yep.
We're going to skip on down to the review and action. And, Board, have you had an opportunity to review your December 20th meeting minutes? And if so, do we have a motion on those minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
All right. Do we have a second?
I have a second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. All right. Next thing we have on our review and action is the election of chairman and vice chairman.
Okay. So I'll take nominations for chairman. We don't have to have a second. Once we get all nominations, we'll go through those and take a vote. Do we have nominations for your chairman?
I nominate Trent Edwards.
Okay, we have Trent Edwards. Any other nominations? Hearing none, I'll close nominations. Everyone in favor for Trent Edwards? Chairman?
All right.
4-0, okay. Do you want to do vice chair, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so for our vice chair, do we have a nomination?
I nominate David Hurd.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right.
Very good.
Okay, and we don't have to do a swear-in tonight, so we're going to skip on past that. All right, so all we have on the agenda tonight is the we have four reconsideration and rehearing requests for tonight. Board, you've had a chance to review these. We do have a process that we could take on this. I'd like to have your thoughts and opinions on this, but the thought and opinion would be we can listen to all four and then have one vote in the end, or we can listen to each individually and have an individual vote. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
I think it would make sense to listen to all of the opinions and then make a vote afterwards.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Agree?
Yeah, I'm okay with it either way.
All right. I don't think that will sway or change any of the effects of tonight. I think that just makes it a little more streamlined, so I'm agreeance with that. ladies and gentlemen, just so we're clear about tonight, it's not a public hearing. We have four applicants for this reconsideration hearing, and all four will have an opportunity to speak one at a time. But again, this is not a public hearing. This will not be any outburst or any opportunity for anyone else to speak. This is just for the reconsideration and rehearing request. As long as we're all clear on that, we'll begin and move forward.
So you might explain to make sure they all understand that you're going to listen to each
Got it.
Person from each reconsideration, rehearing, written request that we have, and then talk about it, make a vote and a decision on whether any of those you feel like has made their case to where you need to rehear it in February. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Does any of the applicants have any questions about that? Or? Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. We'll move forward then. Tonight we'll begin with the first reconsideration rehearing request, which was from Shane Klingerberg. And if you will come up to the podium.
Try to state name, address, all that stuff.
You can state your name. It's fine.
Name's Shane Klinkenbeard. The things that I have found on this, initially there was a few things during the meeting that I don't feel were in accordance to how the meeting should be ran. The Board of Adjustment meeting was conducted in an area where the applicant was allowed to speak while the board was in a closed discussion. The floor was never reopened back up for public discussion. The CUP is for five nightly rental cabins. Well, there's already two dwellings on the property, so now we're talking about seven, not just five. Let's see. The applicant misrepresented the issue of the Zillix property being for sale. The Zillix put their property up for sale because of the applicant's desire to completely change the character of the neighborhood by applying for a zoning change for an RV park and CUP for nightly rentals. After PNZ denied the Zillix, they took the property off the market. And the applicant also stated that the Ninegars didn't care about the nightly rentals. Also, falsehood by the applicant, the family strongly opposes these CPUs and nightly rentals. Okay, and then on the 4 points, the 5 nightly rental cabins would be detrimental or would be endangered public health and safety due to the adverse impact the 5 nightly rentals would have on the Ambulance District, Sheriff's Department, and first responders. Again, I'd like to say that we're talking about 7, not just 5 additional dwellings on there. The 2 existing dwellings are not occupied, but could surely be used for the applicant's apparent desire to derive income from the property. There were no reports from the Ambulance District or Fire District to show that the 5 cabins wouldn't have an effect on their services. And the response from the Sheriff's Department, I feel, was not an official letter from the Sheriff, being as it was on a Word document, no signature, no nothing on there, and that was allowed to be used as evidence as that part. Studies and reports done nationwide have shown where nightly rentals increase crime and damage in areas where they're located, and decrease property values due to the transient persons staying on the properties through increased crime, noise violations by visitors, and declining maintenance of the property over time. And then the next one would be the 5 nightly rentals would potentially endanger the public health with possible runoff into the water reservoir. The lack of a master plan along with stormwater and erosion control has not been presented at any time. No soil testing has been done to determine what type of septic would even be used on the property. The runoff of this property would dump directly into Beaver Creek via Wet Weather Creek that is on the property to the north that actually borders and runs on the Zillig property itself. The topography of this property for the location of the proposed cabins is very steep, and that has not been taken into consideration. All land changes, be it road construction, tree clearing, parking, septic, et cetera, were taken into consideration by planning and zoning when making their decision. The 5 nightly rental cabins would be a substantial adverse impact on the neighboring properties due to the trespassing and noise levels. The flow of transient vacationers and short-term guests staying in the rental cabins jeopardizes the quietness of our little neighborhood out there. That's the reason we all live out there. Nightly rentals disrupt the social fabric of neighborhoods. Frequent overturn and unfamiliar people will dilute the sense of the community. Nightly rentals can result in increased noise levels as guests don't have a vested interest in maintaining the peaceful surroundings that the residents in the area do. And this is, again, why we chose to live out there. It's a quiet, nice little area. With no on-site management, there would be no way to control or prevent such things from happening. We as residents of the area already deal with this in one way or another, whether it be it's helped since they have closed the core roads down, but you still had all the riffraff running around down there, and that has slowly ceased. And then as far as the 4th point I've got, the additional 5 nightly rentals to the current road system in place would cause unacceptable traffic increase and be a safety hazard on US 160. The applicant stated that he would have 3 entrances to the nightly rentals. 2 of the entrances exist at the 2 dwellings located on the east and west ends of the property. The east end of the property entrance is on a very dangerous corner / curve that I don't feel would be approved if it was to be put in today. The entrance on the west end of the property has a very poor line of sight due to the rise in the highway. So that leaves only 1 entrance for the nightly rentals, which is the one he got put in. He got the permit approved for, but I'm still questioning what the permit was approved for that drive. What kind of drive? Is it made for multiple use, heavy vehicles going in and out, or is it literally just an agricultural driveway to get in and out of the property? With guests entirely unfamiliar with this stretch of highway, it certainly causes concern for safety and traffic increase on this section of 160. The neighbors already have issues with motorists using their driveways for turnarounds, and both families have small children that would be at risk adding this extra traffic to the area. And planning and zoning recognize this as a hazard and denied accordingly in my mind. And the 2 things that I have here to give is a letter from Mr. Suti. Would you like me to read that out loud, or?
That's up to you.
And then once again, you guys should already have that, but that was the letter that was presented from the sheriff. I mean, I could have
Did you have extra copies of this? Is it your only copy?
I've got one extra copy.
Okay.
If you would like me to grab it, I just figure I'd give you guys the originals.
Okay, this is just his recommendation, is what you're trying to share. I'm trying to understand what you're trying to share with us.
I'm just showing here where there has been no plan. There, it's all been talked, back and forth, but yet there's nothing been set in stone. No soil testing has been done. No hard evidence of what's going to happen out there.
Gotcha.
Okay. I feel like that is part of, in your guys' regulations, you need a master plan.
Yeah, that has. I mean, that's not our department. We have a sewer department for that. So.
We have no.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I was just trying to make sure that's what you're trying to convey. So I appreciate that.
No problem.
Thank you.
And if you would like another copy of that, or.
No, if you want it back, you can have it back.
You can put that in your guys' file.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll put it in the file.
We'll put it in the file, and that'd be great.
I guess, do you guys have any questions for me?
I meant to ask, if you don't mind, show me again on the map. You showed us last time, but if you could show us where you live at in regards to this.
I live at the end on the 1552, so I'm down here at the end of the dead end road.
Okay.
I already deal with people coming down the road.
Where's the property at?
It's the blue outline.
There's the property here. There's Roberts Ridge turnoff. And I'm down here at the end of the road. I already deal with people trying to use my property as creek access, even though...
What's the distance to the property?
They shut that down. It's a couple miles, 3 miles down there.
Not that far.
No.
It's not that far. What is Gearhouse's driveway?
It's 1 mile from the edge of the highway to your driveway.
It's 1 mile?
That's not a mile.
Okay.
But yeah, and there's a little cul-de-sac at the end of that dead end road, but I mean it's.
But that's not the main road that runs back towards Forsyth or
no,
or
we got
towards
160 runs here.
Okay, yeah.
But if you miss the property, a lot of people are going to try to turn around here, or they think, oh, maybe I can go down here and turn around. I deal with that already, and that's with not having anything like this. If this down here is not an area to try to be turning around a big RV, a fifth wheel, school bus struggles down there. But then you've got access, the core access road runs.
So your main issue there, talking about the layout of your land, your concern was that somebody might miss going to stay at this cabin and end up down by your house.
People staying here come down the road trying to get access to the creek, which I already deal with.
Well, do you think that's something that...
Don't have.
So likely, since it's a nightly rental... Would they know that there's a creek down there? Is there signs down there at your entrance of your road that says creek access or something? Or I'm just trying to understand that part.
Well, there's an old core road down here that they've shut off. So people used to be able to get down there. Well, not everybody knows that road shut down. So then they're now trying to cross me to get on down there.
Gotcha. Okay. So maybe if they're on their map or something, the map might show that. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Thank you for pointing that out.
Any other questions for any of you gentlemen?
You guys got any questions?
No.
Nope. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. That's all I got to say.
You bet. Thank you. All right. Next would be Mary Hurst. And if you don't mind, I think I will have each person state your name and then just show us on the map where you're at. We'll just get that out of the way.
My name's Mary Hurst. I don't live here. I just own the property there. I'm not sure where we're at here on this map.
On your left-hand side, you'll see the blue outline of the...
that's his property right there.
Yep.
Right there.
Mine's right there. Oh, yeah. Just across from the Roberts Ridge Road.
Is it vacant land, you're saying, or is
yes.
it? Okay.
It's agriculture.
Gotcha.
So, at our last meeting, I felt like the voice of the people wasn't really heard. The previous board had really considered all of our questions. And